Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Yesterday, we reacted to Manny Machado signing a huge contract. Today, we'll get into some baseball a little bit later. Whether or not the Yankees have suddenly gotten wise, even with the depth of their pockets and what it means for Bryce Harper, we'll get to that. Also, I think people have actually really hurt their argument on the "you gotta pay the players because people want to see Zion play tonight" argument. They all come out of the woodwork. Anytime there's a college basketball game, you actually pay attention to, even though there's been an entire season which no one's paid attention to. We'll get to that upcoming. But let's start with the news of the moment, the news of the day. If you listen to our updates, and you should, that's because we got the great Dan Beyer updating us. Kevin Colbert, who's the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, announced today that they would not tag Le'Veon Bell. Instead, allow Le'Veon Bell to walk out the door as a free agent without the $14.5 million he could have collected last year as a franchise taggy. And, surprise, surprise, they're going to want to trade Antonio Brown, but they're not going to give him away. Like, look, we're going to take a $21 million cap hit. We're not taking your 7th, 6th, 5th, maybe even 4th round draft pick. Do I think they'll get a first? I don't, just because generally when you dump a receiver, a guy who's going to want a new contract, no matter how talented he is, you usually don't get a first or even a second round pick for it. But we'll see as we now know the details of that meeting, which are as follows. Dude, what are you doing? We want to get rid of you. You want to get rid of us. Why are you hurting your trade value? That's only making it harder for us to do what you'd like to do, which is move on with your, and we'd like to do, which is move on with your career. You know, look, I'm just going to sit here and tell you that I think both of them either got really bad advice or didn't get enough advice. That's what it comes down to. Because Le'Veon Bell, no matter how much he gets this year on the open market, and it's likely not to equal out to the amount that he was reportedly offered initially or even secondarily by the Pittsburgh Steelers, the fact is that once he gives away the chance to make $14.5 million, like he could have signed, played $14.5 million guaranteed and then gotten a new deal. That's money he will never make again. And I've heard this argument from people who say, well, you know, I mean, you know, look, you want to get right down to it. They got enough money. They've made enough money. And while Manny Machado may make enough money and LeBron James will make enough money and Anthony Davis may make enough money, the fact is that where these guys are and with all the hands out and the payments that need to be made from agents to publicists to simply taxes, that's not enough money. Can you live on it? Yeah, but you create a lifestyle that you live in, and after football, there's a lot of adjustments that have to be made. Antonio Brown, could he resurrect his image and work in television and radio? Probably. He's well-spoken. He's interesting. Although the issues off the field, especially with women, make him toxic and probably unhireable, the fact is that resurrection is only a Super Bowl win away. But these guys are not in the place of, oh, they got enough money. It doesn't really matter. They can walk away from it. You got to get another comma by your name for that. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's really what it comes down to. And you've seen this before in the NFL. I know the Dolphins didn't make the playoffs, but I truly believe that is more about the fact that Ryan Tannehill was hurt for half the year than it was the Dolphins didn't enjoy the experience of not having their running back, their wide receiver, and their best defensive player, all of whom were jettisoned within the last 5 weeks of last season into the offseason. All of them were gone, and they had better chemistry. They had better culture, and they had a better football team. That's the trend in the National Football League. You can say, no, it's not, but the truth is, look around the league. Sure, the Rams have tried to buck that trend, and they went out and traded for Marcus Flowers, and they got Aqib Talib, and they got Ndamukong Suh, and they did get all the way to the Super Bowl. I'm not even going to hold against them the fact that they're one penalty away from losing to the Saints. No, I'm not going to do that, nor the fact that they kind of survived at home against the Eagles. But they are the exception to the rule. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Was their defense bad? Sure. Wasn't as good as it needed to be. And it probably would have been better statistically if they had Marcus Peters back there. But you know what? They had two picks and nearly had a third against the New England Patriots. And the fact that their defense was bad, but you never heard a whisper about Bob Sutton being fired before he was fired, speaks to the fact they didn't have Marcus Peters, who was seen as a malcontent the year before. Their chemistry, their culture was better. If you don't believe me, just look at the changes that were made from last year to this year in Kansas City and the results that followed. Of course, we know of the Patriots. You look around the league, and this is a trend. It's also not any different than the trend in baseball, which the Padres tried to buck yesterday. Which is, why put all of your eggs in one basket? Why lock up all of your salary into a couple of guys? Because they may, one, get injured, two, might have bad years, or three, you can just get more production or equal production for two lesser pieces at far less the rate. Sports has finally gotten smart. It's interesting. I don't know how we'll fix business, for example. I don't. But this is kind of a mirror of what's happened in business. Until we can figure out a way where American companies can spend less on their employees, of course you're going to have call centers overseas. I don't know what to do with it. I mean, I guess you got to have tariffs and taxes and do things that are seen as ugly and maybe un-American in order to do it. But all major businesses do is the exact same thing that sports teams are doing, which is, how do we get labor to cost less and still get the same productivity? That's business 101. And we can act like it's this incredibly sinister thing for NFL teams and Major League Baseball teams and NBA teams to do, but it's smart business. And all these men who own these sports teams, that's all they're executing. They didn't go to sports school. They went to business school, and they killed it there. And now they're looking at their books going, wait a second. This is dumb. Why should we operate with an operating loss when we can operate with an operating win, make money while we own a team which is gaining in value? You'll hear this from fans and writers all the time. They'll get to the value in a team is the fact that you may lose money in the day-to-day, but you make money based upon that value of a team. Well, first of all, half the league in both football, more in baseball and in basketball especially, the league's been turned over. So you have new owners that are committed to paying in the billions of dollars, and they just start owning the team. And even if they haven't just owned the team, maybe it's a family business, they don't want to sell it. Not only do they not want to sell it and cash in because then they're out of pro sports, but they want to make money on the day-to-day, and this is how you do it. So between the change in culture, the implementing of basic business principles, the implementing of analytics, which tells you, you're better off getting two or three guys for the price of one and getting different specialists. You can sit here and tell me, well, that's not smart. No, that actually is really smart. It's not sinister. It's business, and it's smart business at that. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have always been someone who's allowed star players to walk out the door knowing or believing that they can evaluate the next guy who comes in and makes less money. And that's the gamble that they're taking.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's the one who broke the story that the Patriots last offseason were interested in Odell Beckham Jr. Are they still interested now, and is OBJ set to be moved? Let's ask him. He's Chris Sims from NBC Sports. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. How much of the problems of last offseason were helped? How much of them still exist between OBJ and the New York Giants?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I mean, hey, the whole jumping off spot of even, this is something I kind of knew about, you know, throughout the season and had other people that I trust kind of confirm that as the season went along. And the jumping off spot was that the fact that Jay Glazer kind of opened up, you know, Pandora's box last week and predicted that OBJ would be traded. I've predicted the same things. I still think, you know, there is issues there. This is nothing I know as of right now, Doug, of where it all stands. But for me, as a guy, as you know, who's pretty connected to the NFL throughout my whole life and just reading between the lines and the tea leaves and everything else that goes along with it, yes, it doesn't seem like it's exactly Camelot with the New York Giants and Odell Beckham Jr. right now. And I just, knowing the Giants and the Mara family and things like that, I have wondered whether they would dangle Odell Beckham Jr. out on the trade market once again this year, and I do think they will. I have heard through the grapevine that, you know, that is a possibility, but, you know, as of right now, it's early, and I can't give you anything concrete right now, Doug.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's get, what do you think happens with Le'Veon Bell?
Right. Yeah, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, I hope he doesn't price himself out as far as asking for too much money at the running back position. If you made me guess on a place he would end up going, I'm going to say the New York Jets. Adam Gase is pretty good with running backs catching the ball out of the backfield. They need to look at something to help out a Sam Darnold. He certainly can take pressure off of Darnold with the running game and his ability to do that between the tackles. But of course, he is a double threat with what he can do in the pass game, running routes out of the backfield or just lining up as a true slot receiver. I think, of course, he won't be on the Steelers. He will be somewhere else. Where that is, I don't know. I don't think the market is going to be as robust, though, as he thinks it will be. And in this day and age where we see guys like Kareem Hunt lead the league in rushing as a fourth-round pick and things like that, you know, I would be hesitant about paying a guy like that $16, $17 million a year. I certainly wouldn't do that. You know, I could justify something around the $12 million a year range thing for Le'Veon Bell. That makes more sense. But as you've seen the last few years, there's a lot of good running backs coming out of college football on a yearly basis.
What about Antonio Brown? Kevin Colbert just came out, and he had a couple quotes I want to ask you about, but one was that, hey, we're not giving away Antonio Brown. We'll trade him, but we'll trade him for appropriate value. That's kind of a loaded deal, right? We've seen, like, Randy Moss go for a fifth. We've seen Amari Cooper go for a first. I know the contract issues have a big portion to do with how much they go for. What is the proper value from the Steelers' mind?
Well, the Steelers, first of all, I agree with that. You know, a lot of people look at the situation and think the Steelers have no power in this situation, and I would argue the exact opposite. The Steelers are going to get screwed over in this almost no matter what, so they need to draw a line in the sand. They're going to lose $21 million in dead money because of the way they structured and then restructured Antonio Brown's deal a few years ago. To whether they cut him, trade him, it doesn't matter. They are going to have $21 million in dead money. And because of that, I would not trade him. And I think that's what Colbert is saying. I'm not going to trade him just for nothing at this point, because we're taking a huge hit to our football team. $21 million is three, four really quality starters on your roster. That's what that equates to. So they shouldn't give him away for anything. You know, I do think Antonio Brown, I think he's starting to hit the slope of the downhill part of his career. He's still awesome. He's still one of the best receivers in the game. He comes with a laundry bag or a laundry list of issues off the field. I mean, that's where you got to be careful with Antonio Brown. We talk about Mike Tomlin all the time with lack of institutional control. It's really only because of one guy, and that's Antonio Brown. Whether that's throwing Gatorade jugs on the sidelines or doing Instagram live from the locker room or quitting on your team at the end of the year or going off the radar or habitually being late for team meetings for the last 5 to 6 years, which I've been told by coaches, players, front office people. So he comes with a lot of baggage, and if he's asking for extra money already before the trade, I just, you know, worry that he's going to hurt his standings with other GMs and coaches around the league. But the talent, I do think, still justifies a pretty high pick, whether that's a second-round pick, because he's still damn good, high second-round pick, maybe low first round if the situation's right, but I think he is that kind of talent.
Patriots interested?
Not that I know of. And I can't imagine, you know, of course, you know, I talked about the Patriots being interested in an Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, it bothers me that Odell Beckham Jr. gets lumped in the whole discussion with Antonio Brown as, like, the diva receiver. You know, Odell Beckham Jr., we've never heard a teammate complain about Odell Beckham Jr. Everything I know about him is he's loved throughout the Giants organization. The worst thing he ever did was on the day off, he went to Miami on a boat trip. And I understand that wasn't the best look, and I'm not saying he's a choir boy, but I think Antonio Brown is a whole different ball game as far as diva receiver is concerned. And I don't think, you know, as much as going to New England can humble the greatest of great players, because you walk in that building and you go, wow, they don't need me. They can win without me. That's proven already. I do think it would be a dangerous combination there, and I don't see the Patriots being interested in Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean, I would say this about Odell Beckham Jr. Curiously absent at the end of the year. Was that disciplinary or was that injury?
Right.
And remember, that was following the failed onside kick recovery where he seemed to make a business decision on a play in which, had he recovered the football, it would have been game over. So
yeah.
I do think there is some there's something there that tells you he's not as all in on them as he tried to lead them to believe last offseason.
I don't disagree with that statement, Doug. I think that's a real thing. There's no doubt about that. I think he's, you know, we saw the Josina Anderson interview with Lil Wayne when he couldn't answer if he loved New York or if this is the best place for him. Those little things, yeah, that, you know, if you love New York, he would have just come out and said, oh, I love it here. I want to be here. So the fact that he didn't say that tells you a little something. He's got to be frustrated with the quarterback play. I mean, come on. How could you not be? You know, he's open a whole lot, and especially for a guy who's probably, other than Tyreek Hill, the most dangerous down-the-field threat in the game, he's got a quarterback who can't take advantage of that. So I think that frustrates him. You know, but to your what else also you're saying is, you know, he was pretty friendly in what he did with the contract, too. And I think that you have to take that into account. He did not try to hold them, you know, over the fire for, you know, big time, let me just break the internet type of money there. He kind of settled for Sammy Watkins type of money. Are you kidding me? Come on, he's not even in the same world. You know, basically Antonio Brown money, which I get that they're comparable talent-wise, but his contract came a few years after. You would have thought it would have one-upped it, you know, a little more than it did. So, you know, again, I'm not saying Odell Beckham Jr. is a choir boy, but I do think sometimes he gets an unfair rap or gets compared to Antonio Brown, where, you know, we could sit here for another 5 to 10 minutes and talk about Antonio Brown's issues, and we can just go through them, whether they're on the field, involved with the law, you know, social media, whatever it may be. I think that's where I get frustrated.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Chris Sims, former NFL quarterback. Of course, works for NBC Sports. You see him on Sunday Night Football. You see him covering Notre Dame games. How much have you been able to dig in and watch Kyler Murray on tape?
Yeah, not yet. It's coming. This is the hardest part of my job, is gathering all the film and all of that. So Doug, you know me. I'm always, as long as you're willing to have me, I will come on in a few weeks and give you my deep dive on all these quarterbacks or whatever position it is. But, you know, just my scouting TV eye from what I've seen for Kyler Murray, certainly a first-round pick. You know, he does play smaller than a Baker Mayfield or a Russell Wilson, but at the same time, he's more athletic and explosive than they are, too, as a runner. His arm is a first-round type of arm. So I don't think there's any doubt about that as far as whether he's a first-round talent. I don't think he's a top-10 talent. I don't see that. And, again, maybe that'll change when we talk in a few weeks. But I do think at the very least he's the second half of the first round type of talent. And, you know, kind of let's see how free agency goes and what teams need quarterbacks and what happens with moves like Ryan Tannehill and things like that here as we get closer to free agency.
Before you had a ruptured spleen, you were the starting quarterback for John Gruden.
Right.
And part of it was replacing Brad Johnson, and then part of it was trying to replace you that sent him into this tizzy of just collecting quarterbacks, and that ultimately, I mean, really, your injury is one of the things that led to him losing his job. I mean, I think I'm sure you feel that, and I'm not saying that's your fault. It's just a,
yeah,
you know, that's accurate, is it not?
It is accurate. Certainly didn't help everything that was going on and the direction we were going with the Bucks. Yes, I mean, it was... Yes, so go ahead.
So with that in mind, everyone's trying to figure out exactly what he wants at quarterback. He has Derek Carr. He could get out of the Derek Carr deal. He could hold on to Derek Carr for another year. He's completely gutted the rest of the roster, and now he's got 5 first-round picks in 2 years. You played for him. You know him better than anybody outside of maybe his closest confidants. You were his starting quarterback. What do you think?
Yeah, I was with him longer than any other quarterback he's ever been with. So just to add to what you're saying there.
So what do you think he wants?
He's always looking for competition at the quarterback position. There's no doubt about that. I don't envision him doing the quarterback thing in the first round. I would be shocked, and I certainly, again, it is John Gruden, and I guess I should say I wouldn't be shocked maybe at the end of the first round if he ended up drafting a quarterback. But I guess I would say I would be shocked in the matter of I think he took this Oakland Raiders job because he thought a lot of Derek Carr. And I'll say this much, Doug, even his offensive coordinator, Greg Olson, who's there, he was in Oakland originally when they drafted Derek Carr, and I know right from his mouth that he thinks Derek Carr is a special player. So I think John Gruden's smart enough to realize there's a lot of issues with the Oakland Raiders. We always want to jump on the quarterback in this day and age of, pro football, but there is offensive line issues, there's receiver issues, they couldn't run the ball, their defense wasn't worth a damn. I'm hoping, and I do think, that John's smart enough to realize they didn't put exactly the best supporting cast around Derek Carr, and they have a lot bigger issues on that roster than Derek Carr.
When Joe Flacco was moved to the Denver Broncos, what was your reaction?
I can't say I was shocked. I guess I was shocked that it happened that quickly. But Joe Flacco, again, I think is a guy that's been, a little bit misrepresented or underrated through his time in Baltimore. I know we all want to say, after the Super Bowl, he hasn't really done anything and it hasn't been anything special. I get that. I understand that. He certainly hasn't maybe lived up to what he's been paid. But at the same time, it hasn't exactly been just Talentville USA around him at wide receiver and other positions on that offense, let alone their offensive coordinator issues as well. But I think Flacco is a good fit there in Denver. They need a guy that they can all believe in that can take them to the promised land. And, the things I heard behind closed doors and things like that is just that Denver didn't think Case Keenum was that guy, the leader, had the presence they were looking for as far as a franchise quarterback in Denver.
Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. Chris, can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I know they got some weather here in New York and in Connecticut where you live and broadcast from. Appreciate you fighting everything and joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, you're the man, Doug. Anytime. You let me know. I'll come back on and talk draft with you in a few weeks if you want me.
Awesome. Oh, of course we want you. Chris Sims joining us.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
First of all, Zion Williamson last year this time was seen as a little bit heavy. Some of his footwork wasn't sharp. He didn't always play hard. He didn't shoot at the best. And there was people wondered how he would translate. At the McDonald's All-American camp, he wasn't great. People didn't see it. And he went and played for Coach K, who's one of the all-time great coaches, if not the greatest coach in the history of modern basketball. And guess what? He's learned to play hard. His skill has improved. His body has improved. And you know what else has improved? The value of his name and likeness because it's attached to Duke. Like, look, you can sit here and tell me that it's a hot ticket because of Zion Williamson, and I would partially agree with you. That's a portion of it. But a bigger portion of it is, it's Duke versus North Carolina. It's Roy Williams versus Mike Krzyzewski. There's a litany of talented players that this may be their only game in Cameron Indoor Stadium as members of Duke and North Carolina because there's some one-and-done guys on both teams. And, by the way, there's supply and demand. There's a great demand for this game, and there's not usually demand for college basketball games in a bandbox of an arena, and it doesn't hurt in terms of the value of the ticket that the former president of the United States, who's maybe more popular than any former or current president in the United States, currently living and probably dead, is going to be in attendance. Like, it checks a bunch of different boxes. And it's Duke, North Carolina. And even if you're willing to say, well, look, Zion's just worth more. There's these kids that are worth more, and they should be able to get more. If that's your stance, then why stop at college? Why not go to high school? Zion Williamson competed against LaMelo Ball in a made-up game in Las Vegas. This is like 3 years ago, two summers ago. And they had the fire marshals had to close the doors. And we have closed-the-door fire marshal games in summer basketball for years and years and years. I've been a part of them. I've seen them. I've coached in some of them. And you know what we don't do? We don't turn over the money from the organizer to the players. That ain't how it works. Because once they become professionals, they become professionals. And you can sit here and say Zion didn't gain anything. He hasn't gained anything. First, it's just not true. Entrance to Duke is like, you're like member of the Skulls, right? If you don't think Duke has valuable, then why are so many of these guys, after they play at Duke, so successful in their television career? Because they played at Duke. And he's a great coach. And it's a great school. And you're around a bunch of people that are going to run businesses for years to come. And, oh yeah, by the way, it's free. It's $70,000. So post-tax, that's post-tax $70,000. Pre-tax, that's like making, I don't know, $110,000, $120,000. And even if you want to tell me, well, you know, his parents couldn't have afforded that. He would have gotten scholarships if he's a regular student. That's fair. He wouldn't have gotten any if he's a regular student. And then you factor in the ridiculous amount of free promotion, which has only been, and rightfully only been, positive. Not just from the school, but from ESPN, from Fox, from anybody who watches it. That has a value. That has a value. And he gets the experience of not just the promotion, but of playing in this incredible event, incredible environment. If you don't think it has value, if you don't think it has any value, then why don't these guys go to the D League or the G League now? If you go to the G League, you can sign a shoe deal right away. You can represent whoever you want as a car company. You can have autograph signings. Sure, you make less in terms of salary, but if your name and likeness is really valuable, why don't you go there? Because there's way more value in playing for Duke or Carolina or Texas or Kansas or Ohio State or Kentucky than there is not playing for them. It's the reality of it. So either way you want to argue it, you're contradicting yourself. And I will give you that he is a phenomenon, an absolute phenomenon. But even with that phenomenon, it's helped out by the fact that he plays at Duke.